Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Welcome to the Social. Happy Thursday, everybody. We've got a lot to get to today, so let's dive into this convo. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced yesterday all federal public servants will have to be vaccinated by the end of the month, or they'll be put on leave without pay and won't qualify for EI. But this isn't essentially an honor system where employees have to sign an attestation form. So the question then becomes, if this is based on the honor system, how do they enforce this policy? So who wants to dive in first? How should this be rolled out to make sure it's actually successful?
Go ahead, AJ.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm kind of just feeling like, you know, I believe that the honor system will work, and I'll tell you why. Because I think all these public servants who work for the federal government, they are already bound by an ethics and values code, right? Like they are bound by this ethics code, and they make a pledge. I believe when they join the government and they join their positions, they have to make this pledge, and they live by that pledge. They take it very seriously, and it's not just bound to this. It's bound to everything. It's how they talk about the government in public, what they do in meetings. I mean, it's really this code that they live by and that they take seriously. So for me, I feel like the honor system is the way to go because it's a template that they are already living with. Does that
make sense? No, I totally get that. Yeah, I get that.
Isabel on Facebook, AJ, does not agree with you. She says the honor system is not enough. We should all be super thankful for having a job. Mandates and requirements are not new. Where workplaces require you to be vaccinated, people should be flat out fired if they refuse to do the right thing. I mean, those are strong words coming from Isabel, who doesn't have the faith that you do, AJ, in necessarily public services. I mean, I just don't understand why they wouldn't just make it like it is right now for businesses where you show proof of vaccination. I don't quite understand why they are relying on the honor system. I suppose knowing that you could be audited or checked at any point in time and then there might be disciplinary actions could be enough to eliminate people who might have the potential, like might want to kind of lie. But I don't know. Do you think that that's enough? Just the threat of potentially being caught?
I think so.
Cynthia, you just like you said the main thing here, which is although it is an honor system at the beginning, at any point in time, these federal workers could be asked to show that proof of vaccination. And if they are caught lying at that point, then, you know, the being reprimanded for that is the same as it would be for lying on any of the other points in that code of ethics that they are bound to. And they would lose their job. So I do think that there is that threat. I understand her point that she just why not just show the vaccine right, like the proof of vaccine right away for everybody. But I just don't necessarily think it's that necessary.
But how, I actually want to get really into the weeds. When we say show it, who are we saying to show it to? Our manager, someone in HR, is there a system whereby maybe now privacy is going to be compromised? And now, like, so I actually want to get into the nitty gritty of who and how and when and where do you show that proof? And is that information going to be destroyed? Is it going to be secure? Like, there is that to think about.
But that's also subjective because you're assuming that that within the hierarchy of people you are showing it to, they believe more and more strongly in the proof of vaccination when the manager may not be as into getting proof of vaccination as the employee.
I hear what you're saying. I'm actually thinking from a resources perspective. Like my perspective
Mel, are you saying that it's a downside?
I'm sorry?
Like, are you saying that it's a security downside to have to
show?
No,
I think it's a resources issue. I just don't think, what's happening with, I think on every level, is it's wonderful that everybody's like, proof of vaccinations, so mandatory show. The question is the manpower, the person power on the other side. So if 400,000, which I think that's roughly how many federal employees work for the government, 400,000 people. So now ask yourself, who is on the other side of those 400,000 people? I think it's a resources issue. And I think generally speaking, honor systems do actually work in civilizations at large. And when they don't work, it's going to be if your personal value system doesn't push you to do it and honor the system. That's where the snitch line should come in. And I say that because that's how all civilizations work. Because we're trying to do what's right, I think, most people are, for the greater good. So if personal pressure doesn't get you across the finish line, maybe knowing that someone might rat you out at work will be the thing that pushes you over the line.
Yeah, That's a good point. I guess the other thing too, though, is, and I don't mean to like go against what I just said, but as you're talking, one of the things I think of is that a lot of workplaces do require you to show proof of vaccination. So why should it be any different for you at your workplace than it is for a politician or a public servant in the federal government? Why can they rely on just the honor system when an average person who works at a coffee shop or something has to show proof of vaccination? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Do they? I've never had to show proof of vaccination at any of my jobs. I feel like this is quite new in this context. I mean, we are living through a pandemic. But I wonder, so do we know, like, is the public service, does that mean that like doctors, medical people, healthcare, dentists, they're all going to be bound to this as well?
No, if this is on the federal level.
I think it's just public
service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is where I find issues too, because we're still finding that healthcare workers, from my understanding, are not necessarily mandated in the same way. So that's a huge, huge problem in my books as well. Is that, when is that going to be something that is looked at seriously?
Yeah, you want to see it on at all levels.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, Cynthia. And if we're talking about a code of ethics, Leah Jasmine, you talked about how there's a code of ethics that, you know, all federal employees have to abide by. Like, medical practitioners, nurses, doctors also have a code of ethics. And we have heard lots of stories about nurses and certain doctors who are refusing to get vaccinated. I don't know where the code of ethics and all of that applies to.
Exactly.
So, I agree with you. I'm an idealist as well. I want to believe that federal employees in particular will abide by that code of ethics that they signed upon agreeing to become a governmental employee. It's just that, as we've seen, in the example I just cited, I don't know that that code of ethics necessarily applies in this situation. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just to quickly hop on that, right now in Italy, there's like over 1,000 doctors and dentists who have been suspended because they haven't been fully vaccinated against COVID. And can our healthcare system, I mean, this is just, now I'm branching off, but like it leaves the mind thinking, because we already know there's a nursing crisis. So, but it matters in these public healthcare contexts, mm-hmm. who's vaccinated perhaps the most, mm-hmm. arguably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great
point. Here's what I'll say about the honor system. Like, you're right, Mel. In a civilized society, honor systems do work. And as soon as you said honor system, my mind immediately went to the sport I play, golf. It's basically an honor system game. You keep your own score.
That's right.
But you know what? Like, if anybody cheats in golf, it's not a life or death situation. Somebody cheats this system, isn't vaccinated and goes to work and isn't protected, lives are on the line here. Like, that's to me where the honor system, I don't know if I want to trust in an honor system when public health and safety is where public health and safety is concerned. But you know what? That's the talk of the day. And we will see how this continues to unfold, not just at the federal level, but in other workplaces as well. Now let's move on to something completely different. And I mean, we are doing a complete different turn here. Kim Kardashian. She is hosting SNL this weekend, and Page Six is reporting that Kanye West is quietly advising her on her performance and her opening monologue and the costumes for the show. So what is your reaction to this?
I had the same reaction that I think a lot of people online did, which is, oh, what are you doing, SNL? And good for her for all the things she's achieved in her life. But one thing she is not is a sketch comedy actor. And in fact, sketch comedy is so hard that even people who are on the show, who are guest actors, guest comedians, they even have a really hard time. And when you look at and you Google the worst SNL guest hosts of all time, sadly, they have no acting experience at all, because this stuff is hard. So I feel for her. I'm curious why she's doing this. Maybe mission accomplished.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little schadenfreude. I just want to see how badly it goes.
I totally don't agree with you. I'm like so excited to watch her host this. Am I the only one that's so excited?
But why are you excited?
Because
it's going to go in one of two directions,
exactly.
Right? It's either going to be really good or spectacularly bad. I don't
Cynthia,
think there's going to be a middle ground.
Which way do you think it's going to go?
I actually don't really know. I kind of think it's going to go poorly, because it's gone poorly for people who even are actors. Like January Jones, again, a beautiful woman. She was amazing in Mad Men. She did a spectacular fail. Like, to the point where she was actually asking for cues. And I think it's that you need to be able to shirk off your beauty, and Kim K has that beauty factor. You need to be able to be vulnerable and ridiculous. And I just don't know that Kim K can laugh at herself. I hope I'm wrong. I'd like to see it be wrong.
What Cynthia is trying to say is that you can't Photoshop live television. And
or bad acting.
Right? And so, but at the same time, like, Sin, you're leaving room. Like, are you going to, if Kim puts on the wigs and, like, the bad teeth and, like, is seen from all the angles and agrees to kind of be mocked? And to mock herself, it could be a good
bigger
show.
Than that.
It's just,
I know.
She lets people laugh at her, and she's been on reality TV. She's vulnerable. I have faith in you, Kim Kardashian. I think she could kill this.
I just think
Yeah, but do you have faith in Kanye? The question is, do you have faith in Kanye? Because if he's the one, like, there's a writer's room, there's a whole team of experienced comedians and writers who are there, and their job is to write for the host. Why is he coming in here talking about helping her with her monologue, talking about the costumes, talking about the sketches? Like, who needs Kanye when you have a whole show dedicated to this thing? This is what I don't understand.
We have to go to break, but here's the sad part, is that if she does bomb, it won't be Kanye that's left holding the stinky bag of poop. Everyone's going to point at Kim. That's what I think anyway.
Okay, guys, so we are talking about why Twitter is melting down right now over an episode from HBO's Scenes from a Marriage, where Oscar Isaac goes full frontal and everybody's losing their minds. Is this reaction warranted?
I just want to put this in context, too, because first of all, we know Oscar Isaac to be an internet boyfriend. There are a few actors who are collectively obsessed over by the internet. He is one of them. And the thing is, this moment, this exposure, if you want to call it, is coming on the heels of another viral moment that Oscar caused at the Venice Film Festival with Jessica Chastain on the red carpet. The internet, Twitter, had a meltdown over this, right, Cynthia? So they're posing at the premiere of Scenes from a Marriage. He's looking like, everyone wants someone to look at them this way. And then I can't, and then it's in slow motion.
What's happening there?
Whatever he's doing, I want that. I want that every day, all day.
I want that
so
too.
He's already so hot. And we know he can pull off moments like this where casually to a friend, he just decides to smell her armpit or lick her arm. We don't know.
I don't think Jessica liked that very much, just
on
saying.
On the heels of that, right? But on the heels, they're very good friends. They've been friends for a long time. And then on the heels of that, during the show, in this very pedestrian scene, he just gets up out of bed, walks to the bathroom, and you can see his bits.
Right.
Like, I think that in combination with that viral moment, people are just like, this man is perfect, and let's have all fantasies about him.
I just didn't even think it was that big of a deal. Like, I know that Twitter is so excited about this, and I think it is exactly what you're saying, Lane. I think it's just because everybody feels that, like, that love for him. And I know you mentioned earlier, right, that this has happened before with Chris Pine, where everybody lost their minds over Chris Pine's penis, the Pine penis as well, right?
Go on.
I was just going to say, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And I'll tell you why, because I think we just should normalize the penis. Like, HBO's been doing this for many years, and just put it out there. I wish I had known what a penis looked like before I had ever seen a real penis. I wouldn't have been as shocked. Like, I just think we should normalize it a little bit more.
I hear you. I mean, I think the reason why it garnered such attention is for both the reasons Lainey said, but also because it still is so shocking and rare. I think for a long time, in movies in particular, they were shot predominantly with the male gaze, and you might have seen full frontal females, but the penis was like off limits. And then slowly we've seen a little bit more. And I think that you've seen the reaction, because again, it's like, wow, somebody took up the vulnerable position to show this. Because penises have a lot of weight in our society. And there's a lot of men, I think, who feel deeply insecure about this.
I think also
what
mystery.
I find interesting, mystery, but here's the thing. Does it matter to you if it's a real penis or if it's a stunt one or a prosthetic one? Because what we're seeing more and more, I think Oscar Isaac also deserves this, that he showed himself. Yeah. And that was his choice. Whereas there's been all kinds of prosthetic or sub-in penises that I guess maybe makes us, or maybe you can answer this, I think we miss out on that full diverse spectrum and beauty.
But yes,
I
wouldn't say the word beauty because I don't find it a thing of beauty for me personally. But what I will agree with there is that what does that even say about the actor? So if an actor is not even willing to be vulnerable enough to show their bits, it's like every other female actor, when asked for, is generally expected to just show herself full frontal or at least, boobs out. And so that's the other part of this. I think it's demystifying it. It's yes. taking away the power of the male penis yes. with the mystery that surrounds it. And there was a great article written in BuzzFeed, and the writer wrote something because they were saying that more and more shows, if you look at the last decade, we've actually seen more penises on camera. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this one line, and he said, "The unmasking of toxic masculinity that runs through a lot of these shows has worked in tandem with an unmasking of the masculine body." So for this writer, it was deconstructing, pulling apart, poking holes at toxic masculinity by demystifying the male penis.
That's exactly it. Normalize it. I mean, normalize it, not but just for all of us.
That only works if we're seeing a full spectrum and we're not always exactly. just seeing the quote-unquote perfect.
I just want to see them.
Particular
it's not even like perfect. I just want to start seeing them.
But
like
I think
once in 20 shows doesn't cut it.
even for men, right? Like even for guys, like you were saying, Cynthia, I think it's better for their self-esteem if we see more of them and it becomes more normalized. Like
yeah.
even for men, this is, I think, a great thing.
That's a great
thing. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a different scene from a marriage. Meghan Trainor recently shared that her and her husband have toilets that, yeah, you heard me right, next to each other. Toilets next to each other. Is this gross or is this romantic?
Okay, this is kind of what I think about it. A couple that can together poo has a love that's unbreakably true.
You made a poem.
I made a poem.
Out of toilets. Well... Bravo! That was art. That's beautiful.
Oh
AJ.
My gosh!
I mean
if that works for you,
how close do you have to be to like? Okay, to pee together is one thing, but to number two next, like that is
that's love.
True love. That's like the kind of love you share with your mom.
Now I feel like that's the beginning of the end. Sorry, Megan.
Really?
Yep. There are some things that should be kept a mystery, and that is one of them.
Well, why don't I show you something? Because I'm about to celebrate my 20th wedding anniversary. And a few years ago, Jacek and I went away to a resort. And it just so happened that our room had two bathrooms across the hall from each other. And we discovered that if we left the door open, we could see each other. And we decided to document the moment. So Jacek is on the toilet in this shot. Can you see me? I just want to make sure you can see me. Can you see me?
Yes,
you can see my little head.
Yes, we can see you.
All the way back there.
Yes. So, and we decided to memorialize this moment. We were on, I think it was our 16th or 17th anniversary trip. We're about to celebrate 20. So Mel, hopefully it's not the beginning of the end.
That was very different. That was really cute. But just notice there was also
pooing.
A football field between the two of you. And I think that makes and a door. Like you both had doors. That's why you're still happily married. There it was. And you couldn't smell. I'm telling you. Probably couldn't
could
smell
hear.
From that far.
I could hear.
You could hear. She could hear.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.